You are listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco, and welcome to Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, body, earth, community, economy, all six areas of the healthful living model. You can read more about that at healthfulliving.org. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist and healthful living advocate with Healthful Living, and I'm here today with my co-host,
Julie Matthews. I am a certified nutrition consultant and fellow partner in Healthful Living.
So this is our inaugural show here of 2008, a pretty big year, I think, for the entire planet, 08. I've seen it written as awaiting a change this year, and certainly we're going to see lots of change this year. We, of course, we have a huge political election, lots of issues at play in our world every day as we go forward. Economy is looking kind of wonky, and we'll be talking about this over the coming weeks as we discuss all six areas of healthful living, various health issues, economy issues, community issues going forward in the weeks ahead. And today, Julie and I are just going to be chatting about a few different things. We're going to have a couple of updates later in the show with Mark McAfee, owner of Organic Pastures Dairy. As you may recall, we reported back on the show a couple of months ago the issue with the state of California trying to sneak something over on the consumers to inhibit raw milk. But the consumers have stood up and rebelled against this action by the state, and things are happening, things are changing, and the right things are going on. We're going to hear from Mark about that. And
Speaking of rebelling. Our governor.
One issue that's kind of hot on our chompers right now is just yesterday we learned that the state of California is going to be suing the feds. And this is kind of right prime in the core of a lot of political issues that are happening today with respect to who and helping us all kind of define who we are as individuals and who we are as a nation. And it really gets to our core identity issues. So, Julie, what's going on with this?
So, Schwarzenegger, so California has created the first ever greenhouse gas emissions limits on cars, trucks, and SUVs. And Schwarzenegger yesterday filed a lawsuit in San Francisco. He was behind it, feeling very strongly that if the EPA opposed his tighter restrictions on greenhouse gas emissions, that he was going to sue them. And the EPA has denied California its desire to move forward on this, stating that it wasn't within their realm to make the rules more strict or something. It was going to, I don't know, create too much confusion.
You know,
or
it's just getting more and more into this notion of the federal government getting into all the state's businesses. Right?
Well, it'll be interesting later because we're also going to be talking first here about states' rights and different politicians and who's into what and what's going on with that. But just in terms of this lawsuit, there's other states that are going to be joining us in this lawsuit anticipated coming up here soon based on this announcement that came out yesterday. So, you know, for people that aren't aware, the Bush administration created very loose standards that the Environmental Protections Agency is upholding, which are far inferior to what most people think are needed. And California took a stand, and the voters agreed, and now the federal government is trying to limit our ability to do such a thing, which I find totally unbelievable, but actually not quite so surprising, given what we've been seeing lately. So we're going to go forward and hopefully see something positive about this in 08.
So hats off to the governor, I guess, on that one.
Yeah.
So let's just shift right into our big subject.
This is where you're happy to have the Terminator as your as your governor. Someone is not going to, you know, that image anyway, the image that, you know, your governor is not going to take crap from anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Well. He's a good one for that, I have to say.
Yeah. And the thing we really want to jump on today is just what's been so thick in the air, indescribably and also indisputably around us as we head into this big year of 2008. And it has to be fear. We've talked a lot about the use of fear on this show in the past and how fear is being utilized to essentially to paralyze people into not really having access to their own inner mechanisms of choice. When you're thrust into fear, you kind of instantly have to react, and it becomes very easy for outsiders to manipulate your perspective. And we're seeing fear bandied about in all walks of life, we're getting fear thrown at us about how healthy we are. We're getting fear thrust at us about our economy. We're getting fear thrust at us about the nature of the world. We're getting fear thrust at us about one another. We're getting fear thrust at us in all different walks. And it's just, you know, it's becoming so much, you know. And I think one of the points that we make about here on the show, one of the things we really try to aim to do is to empower your personal choice, to help remind you in some sort of a way that you truly are at choice about how you respond to these things that happen to you. And one of the prime objectives there is to affect your intake of fear-based information, that you'll see it more as fear-based information, as someone using the tactic of fear to influence you, to get into your head, to affect your life in some way, and that simply by us talking about it in a way, pointing it out, identifying it, sharing it, seeing it for what it is, that it'll lose its potency in some regard, that perhaps we'll be able to some way step back and laugh at it rather than be so thrust into debilitating modality as a result of it. And nowhere could this be more prominent right now than in this massive political election that we're experiencing. I mean, we have candidates all over the place throwing at us fear, fear, fear. You should be so afraid that you should vote for me.
Why don't you give an example, if you can get it to play on our high technology system here?
Well, we're going to speak about today, and we're going to use two very wide examples of two people that are actually running for this respected office and that are using extremely different tactics. Now, if I can get this to play, this is a political commercial that it's coming right off the internet. So let's see if we can get this to work.
An enemy without borders, hate without boundaries, a people perverted, a religion betrayed, a nuclear power in chaos, madmen bent on creating it, leaders assassinated, democracy attacked, and Osama bin Laden still making threats. In a world where the next crisis is a moment away, America needs a leader.
Well, that's it. America needs a leader who is...
And the screen...
Who's ready.
I'm Rudy Giuliani, and I approve this message.
There
now,
you go.
Now, of course, the screen says tested, trusted, whatever else. And I am just absolutely appalled at the severity of the...
Well, that's a campaign he's been running on since the beginning. His only thing he has to run on is that he was a mayor during the time of the attacks, and that is the entire platform he's running on.
Here's a quote from Rudy Giuliani. We're in the middle of a struggle that pits freedom versus fundamentalism, hope versus fear, democracy versus conflict. We didn't seek this conflict. We didn't start this conflict, but we must finish it, and we will win it. Win what? I've been listening to this man, and I've been listening to the fearmongers out there again and again and again, and I'm sure all of you have been listening to it again and again and again. And the thing is, all of these messages do is thrust you into fear and anger and annoyance, and you're left with no real personal proactive choice or movement towards anything. What do you want?
Well, because they're saying that we didn't seek this conflict, we didn't start this conflict, but if you talk, you know, if you hear other politicians, in fact, during one of the Fox debates, if anybody wants to go online and review them, there's a in one of the debates, Giuliani and Ron Paul are having an interchange about this whole issue. And Ron Paul said he was basically blaming our foreign policy as one of the reasons that people are angry with us and that we do have some part to look at in this whole thing. And Rudy Giuliani, of course, stuck with his stance and I think looked a little, I would say, a little ignorant at the end of it the next day. But
well, the simple notion there was simply that one of the other candidates, Ron Paul, was articulating that he felt that the U.S.'s involvement overseas, that the foreign policy of the United States over many, many years had something to do with the fact that we were attacked, that somehow how we are being in the world ticked off other people, and that was, you know, one of the factors and somehow at play. And Giuliani was laughing at that, saying I had never heard that, and right. That sort of insinuation. You must be absolutely joking. At which time candidate Paul reiterated, well, that simply was the findings of the 9/11 report and of most of the generals, and really everybody believes that. So I don't know where you're coming from, Mr. Giuliani.
Right.
And and now, you know, I'm sure we can, if we want to, get into endorsements, but we don't endorse any candidates because we're just not about that. What we're doing is here is we're out pointing out to you the extreme nature of what's taking place in our world right now in front of us, and the sandwich of reality that we're existing in, and how absolutely necessary it is for each of us to pay a little bit more attention, perhaps, to tune into our own senses and feelings about what's actually going on in the world, and well, empowering our own personal choices.
Well, you wanted to talk a little bit about Ron Paul today for two reasons. One, because we have somebody on the line that is going to be talking to us about this, too, and his thoughts on all of this. And, you know, I think the big reason is just the question that should always come up is, you know, and the question people always ask me is, who is Ron Paul and why do I not know who he is? And that, to me, is the question. If you don't know who he is, there is a reason for it, because the media is not telling you about him and they are marginalizing him. And there's some really, really – what's that website that we saw with – who would the world vote for, or something?
Right.
We'll have to look.
Right.
We'll have to look that up for you later. But it has people all around the world casting their vote of who they would vote for a U.S. president.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be. I was shocked. I was actually shocked that, you know, Hillary Clinton has 8,000. Obama has 16,000. You know, some people have 500, 800, 1,000. Ron Paul had like 53,000 votes, by far the highest candidate of ever, for including United States citizens as well as all world citizens. And I thought that was really, really interesting that this candidate raised the most money ever in a single day, the most money, or an enormous amount of money, almost $20 million in a quarter,
mm-hmm.
and has this kind of appeal around the world, and you don't hear anything about him ever? Is that a bit strange?
Well, he's being actively ignored by the mainstream media. As we speak, mainstream media in this country is intentionally inhibiting information to the population.
Well, he has been currently excluded from the Fox debate. And I'll be very interested to see what happens in Iowa today, because if he comes in higher than any of the candidates that are on that panel planned for, I think, Sunday, then it would be unbelievable to me that he raised more money than everybody and he was not the, quote, lowest person in the voting, and to still be excluded will be very interesting. So I'm looking forward to hearing what happens today in Iowa.
Let's hear a very different representation of the nature of our reality.
And let's get to our caller. Then let's
and then
get
we're
going to
get on the phone.
America is a great nation, but all great nations stumble at times. Our economy is weak. Our national borders are ignored. The cost of health care continues to rise. Our troops are spread too thin. Taxes are too high. Great nations stumble, but great nations do stand again. And so will America. We have the answer. God gave us freedom. Our forefathers gave us the Constitution. There is hope for America. We have Ron Paul.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
So the reason I play this is because there's such a dramatic difference in a message that's being conveyed right now across this country.
Right, of hope, there's something we can do.
95% of people running for elected office who want to continue to be in power and represent we the people are pushing for the same paradigm, the same perspective, mm-hmm. the same belief that we have to have command and control over people, that people themselves have difficulty governing their own behavior, that they
and
need
the
to
Democrats
be,
are no better.
No better, no
they
different.
It's the same thing by everybody.
So we have to ask ourselves, where is someone speaking what we believe to be truth? Where is the core notion of this? And it's actually taking place. There is a representative in our government. We have somebody on the line who's been a co-organizer of some of the folks out there that are getting behind this campaign, and let's just see if we got him on there. Mark, are you there?
I am.
Hey, Mark.
Well, hello. Nice talk with you guys again.
Yeah.
Mark Michael Lewis is an author and entrepreneur, and he has been on our show in the past on some various couple of different subjects with some of his past books, Relation Dancing being one of them. And he is also now the organizer of a website called RonPaulReveres.com, which caught our eye a couple of months back.
Yeah.
And this is just the whole...
And then we realized it was our friend that was doing it. We didn't even know.
We didn't even know it was you. And this is actually, I mean, revolution's a big word, but when the people themselves are organizing amongst themselves in this kind of a way, in this sort of a fashion, nationally, and being ignored by the mainstream media outlet, I mean, there's got to be something really significant going on that's very worthy of talking about. What are you seeing out there, Mark?
Well, we certainly like to think so. You know, we call ourselves Ron Paul Revere's because there really is the sense that we're the supporters of Ron Paul are in touch with the principles of freedom that began this country. And it's almost as if we're patriots riding through the countryside, sounding the alarm about threats to our liberty with the possibility of hope. Mm. That we actually have someone in the political debate who's running for president who is actually speaking principles, who's actually speaking to the concepts of freedom in the Constitution that gave birth to this nation that has been considered the land of the free and the home of the brave. And it's interesting. You say that the mainstream media has essentially been ignoring Ron Paul. And I think there's a good argument for that. I think there's a good case to be made for that. The thing that is stunning is how many people are getting involved in spite of that.
Mm.
That normally, the media, you could say, shapes public opinion. Well, in this case, public opinion is being shaped through the non-mainstream media of the Internet. People are able to connect in ways that they never have before. They're able to communicate in ways that they never have before. They can create videos that actually present position and say, well, who is Ron Paul? Here's who Ron Paul is. And people are making tens of thousands of videos, and on the Internet, people have just caught fire to this message of prosperity and peace and this anti-war message that so many people are really listening for right now.
Mm. Now, people making videos, you're talking about just anybody out there who has an affinity for this guy, making their own video on their computer and uploading it?
Absolutely. It's a phenomenon. There are literally tens of thousands of people who are creating videos.
Mm.
They look at a video on YouTube. They might download it, and then they re-edit it. They put music behind it. They take different speeches that he's done on different topics and weave them together to tell a coherent story so that people can understand, who is this guy? Why are we so excited? What is it about the fact that he really just seems to be speaking the truth rather than, you know, kind of giving political positions? He actually speaks the truth, and you hear it. You go, oh, my, that makes sense. And people get so excited about that they're really taking things into their own hands, and it's been quite a phenomenon.
I would definitely agree with you on that. Every time I hear him speak, I think to myself, wow, you know, this guy is good. And then I think to myself, it's not like he's good that he's polished and perfected his message. It's that any question you throw him, since he's speaking the truth, comes out and makes complete sense. He's not trying to fit inside a certain message. He's not worried about sneaking around or getting his agenda out there. And I'm just amazed by the answers to questions that he comes up with. Even when people are trying to, you know, marginalize him, he never seems to falter, because it's almost, you know, it's hard to falter when you're speaking the truth.
Yeah, and when you're speaking from principle, when you actually have a set of principles that you're speaking from, it allows you to answer any questions you're giving according to the principle. And what happens is all of your answers end up saying the same basic thing, just in different topics. And so people can hear the coherence in what you're saying. They can hear the honesty in what you're saying. Like, it's funny, I watch the debates and I'm watching various candidates, especially Romney, and he's asked direct questions, and he just doesn't answer the question. The audience is almost booing because it's so obvious that he's not answering the question. And I agree. It's really refreshing that when you ask Ron Paul a question, he just gives you a straight answer. And it's not polished. Mm-hmm. He's not the greatest politician. He's not the most charismatic guy. But his message is just catching on like wildfire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's our hope, certainly, and I'm sure yours as well, you're a healthful living colleague of ours, that the world, I mean, we know the world is changing. We see the world changing. We know that consciousness is expanding. And when we say that, we're just simply saying that we're passing through time in our collective evolution. And more people are, quote, waking up again to their own inner senses, to their own inner guidance, to their own inner whatever it is, that when they hear someone speaking genuinely, that it resonates for them and they go, ah, that feels good. I want to hear more of that. And then when someone like a Romney or whoever is totally talking out of their you-know-what, that's also standing out for us more in contrast, going, this guy is just, you know, and we want, we're being hopefully becoming more at choice about wanting less of that phoniness and more of that genuineness in all aspects of our lives.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. You know, we started this site, ronpaulreveres.com, a little over a month ago, and it was really just designed. We said, you know what? There's so many grassroots people out there. If we had one place where everyone could go and get straight kind of step-by-step 1, 2, 3 instructions about how they could get involved, because what we find is that a lot of the people who are getting involved in the Ron Paul campaign are not normally politically active.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of practice in it, because normally what happens is they listen to the people in the political field, and they just go, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's twiddly-dee and twiddly-dum, and I don't trust what they're saying. They're not, you know, there's nothing there to inspire me. And then Ron Paul comes along, and he speaks truth. And it's interesting what you were saying. I think one of the factors that Ron Paul is tapping into, and one of the principles that he's a demonstration of, is that some people have a sense for where they want to go, and they're being awakened, as you said. They're waking up to more and more of their possibilities. Other people are just so tired of where they're at. They're so tired of, for lack of a better term, you know, just BS. They're tired of being snowed. They're tired of being, you know, that the candidates tell them what the polls suggest they should say. So, you know, candidates are just trying to say what they think the people want to hear. When Ron Paul comes out, it sounds different, and it calls people out. So we have all these people in the campaign who have never really been political before, but they come out and they're inspired. Mm. They can't believe that someone's actually speaking about the Constitution and saying, hey, why don't we read it? You know, it is the law of our land.
Why don't we follow it?
Yeah, if it's the game we're playing, how come no one talks about it? All of our elected officials, they have one oath. And that oath is to protect the Constitution. And yet, if you talk to, you know, the person on the street, they can't tell you what the Constitution is. They don't know. Most people think that the Constitution is somehow a document that limits individuals, that it's some kind of set of laws to limit the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read it, every single word in the Constitution is about limiting government.
Mm-hmm.
It's about protecting society from government.
Mm-hmm.
Because when government has too much power, then it starts doing things that aren't necessarily in everyone's interest. And they might, for example, start going to wars that are undeclared. They might spend money on foreign policy decisions which are clandestine, that they have to keep secret, because if they told the truth, the American people would revolt.
Mm.
And you know, Ron Paul comes along and says, perhaps we should actually listen to the Constitution and do what it says. And it's such a simple proposition that we stand up for the principles of liberty and freedom and respect and staying out of the internal affairs of foreign nations, that, you know, it just has such a resonance. It's been stunning to me, the people who come and volunteer for our site, who come and just, what can I do? Tell me, help me help this candidate, because I finally have a reason to participate in the political process.
Mm. Do you have any, I don't even know if this is a legitimate question, but do you have any predictions for today? Not predictions. Do you have any thoughts on today, any hopes for today and what's going on in Iowa? Or?
Well, I'd say the central piece is that I'm glad that the caucuses and that the first primaries are finally here, because I think what we're going to find is that Ron Paul gets a higher voting ratio than the polls have suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Because the polls, you know, how do they do the polls? They call people who voted in the last election. Well, so if you don't have a home phone number, if you work off of a cellular phone, for example, or if you've changed phones, or if you didn't vote in the last election, then they don't poll you. And so since Ron Paul really draws from people who haven't voted in the past, people who live more unconventional lifestyles, they're a lot younger, they're more likely to just have cell phones, that they're not typically represented as well in the polls. And so the central prediction I have is that he's going to do better than he does in the polls, at the actual in the actual voting polls. And that's going to be really exciting, because what I predict is that he's going to do well enough in Iowa and well enough in New Hampshire that it causes the people who are kind of on the fence, who are going, well, you know, this guy's kind of interesting, but I don't know if I want to spend 10 minutes learning about him. All right.
Right.
I'm not sure if I want to invest that much in this guy. What's going to happen, I predict, is that people are going to come out of these first two states of Iowa and New Hampshire, and he's going to get a burst of activity, that people are going to start coming out of the woodwork to support him, because they're going to say, wait a minute, if he's getting 10% in the polls, but he's polling 15, 18, 20% in the actual voting, what does that mean? That means that with a little exposure, if all of a sudden he starts getting some media exposure, or if the people who have been on the fence about him decide to risk trying, you know, and I'd like to talk about that for a second, because one of the things that we find is that we'll talk with people and they'll say, you know, we like Ron Paul. We like what he stands for. We think that it's a great principle. It's just there's no point. The media controls this country. The corporations control this country. The government's out of control. And somebody who actually speaks the truth just doesn't stand a chance. If we can show today and in New Hampshire that people are actually willing to take action when it comes to voting in the primaries, if we can show that, I think there's going to be a huge range of people who say, you know what, I'm willing to risk trying. I'm willing to risk getting my hopes up and putting my heart and soul behind this guy, because people are scared. It can be scary to actually think that you have a possibility and put hope into it. Sometimes it's safer to just say, oh, well, it'll never happen.
Right.
Well, right? And that's what I think Reality Sandwich and your show is really about. It's that there are possibilities that we can make happen if and only if we're willing to risk and take action on them. And it's about being willing to put our heart on the line, to decide what we really want in life, and to take action towards it. And I think that this political campaign, which is a place where, you know, I write personal development books and do coaching and corporate training and things like that, you normally wouldn't expect this kind of personal, passionate, really soulful participation being drawn forth from a political candidate. And it's so stunning, and it's such an opportunity, and I think it really bodes well for the future of our country that despite the mainstream media's lack of activity, that the internet, that people who are actually focused on a cause and believe in something can connect in ways that they've never connected before, can communicate in ways they've never communicated before, and organize in ways they've never organized before to make things happen that used to be considered impossible.
Right.
And they were that is the brightest light in Ron Paul's campaign, as far as I'm concerned.
And the more that we learn, the more that we realize that they were made impossible by people who didn't want us to believe that those things could be done. There are people that don't want us to believe that we can grab the reins of our own health, for example, and make ourselves healthy through the choices that we have in through our diet and our lifestyle. And they're trying to scare us away from that.
And they don't want people to spend less money on government spending, because then what about all those people that won't have jobs? You know, I mean, they're all sitting, they're all the people that are making the laws are thinking, well, if we keep this program in place and this program in place and this program in place, then we'll prop up ourselves and we'll have jobs. And people don't want to change the status quo because it's working for them.
But I think the stark reality of that is even getting out more and more through the internet. We're seeing the manipulation that's going on. We're seeing the inequity out there in our society. We're seeing where a lot of the money is going. People are making videos and documenting the what's going on with the media and how they're manipulating and changing things in real time to inhibit a real message getting out to people, and it's triggering people's senses and feelings of what's right and true. Julie?
I don't know if I'm going to be a cynic right now or what I'm going to be, but maybe you can help me with this, Mark, because I guess my question is going to be around what we can really do, because I find myself, you know, we've known about Ron Paul. We heard him speak 4 or 5 years ago. We've met him, we've spoken with him. We've asked his advice on things. He's a really interesting guy. So when we found out he was running for president, we were really kind of surprised and excited. But I've even found myself going through a lot of those things you talked about. Like when Martin was first online going, he's running and there's these people out there and they're doing videos and Martin's online every day finding out what's going on. And I found myself like, yeah, but I was really afraid to get my hopes up because I thought there was no way he could, you know, pull it out. But then I decided, all right, I'm excited. I'm just going to get excited. It doesn't hurt to get excited. But now I'm frustrated because of all those other people that won't get excited. And I have to say some of the, what I think are the smartest, the most open-minded, conscious friends. And I can't even twist their arm to spend 5 minutes looking at him. So anyway, that's my whole spiel, and I'm curious what thoughts you have on that.
Yeah, trying to turn the tide of our political machine on a dime is very difficult. I'll say that. My own experience was very similar. I have a strong background in political philosophy. I've written articles on the original intent of the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, and how, you know, our Constitution is actually pretty well defined. Mm-hmm. In the debates around the Constitution, they really said what this country was about. And so I've really wanted to get back to the Constitution. It's been important to me. And so when I heard Ron Paul was running, I went, oh, that's great, you know, and good for him, and hopefully he doesn't take too much of the vote and upset things in ways that cause problems. I didn't give him any chance to win whatsoever. Mm. It just, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's a great symbolic gesture. And that's really how I thought about it. And it wasn't until someone sat me down and said, look, Mark, we can actually make this happen. There are strategies that if we play this smart and we use the one thing that Ron Paul has going for him, which is that he's a principled voter that gets passionate supporters, if we use that smart, we can actually do this. And they went through the math with me, right? Like, we're in California. Mm-hmm. We've got 3 districts in the Bay Area that total 9 votes, 9 delegate votes for the Republican convention. Now, if you look at Iowa and New Hampshire together, that's 9 votes.
Wow.
So what that means is because in California, each district, if you win that district, your votes for that district go to your candidate. In some states, it's you win the whole state or you lose the whole state. But in California, the districts are actually set up so that if you win the district, whoever wins the district, those votes go in. So that's one part of it. That gives us a possibility that if we can focus on particular districts, we can actually win them and get significant numbers of votes going into the Republican primaries. Here's the second piece that they showed me. And when they showed it to me, something clicked in my head, and I went from, this would be a great idea, of course, but, you know, it's never going to happen, to, you know what, this is possible, and therefore it's worth investing energy in, which is in the districts in California that we're talking about, in the Bay Area, they're predominantly Democrat districts, over the top. Mm-hmm. Now, we might think, oh, that's a problem, but that's actually a tremendous advantage, because what that means is that there are, and in absolute numbers, there are less Democrats in each of those districts, which means that every single vote that we get for Ron Paul has a relatively greater percentage of meaning.
Did you mean there's less Republicans in those districts?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Got
Did
it?
I say less Democrats?
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. There are fewer Republicans in those districts in absolute numbers. And so each vote we get for Ron Paul has a relatively greater effect, which means that we only need to get a small percentage of either Republicans to vote for Ron Paul in the primaries,
mm-hmm.
or independents to register as Republicans to vote in the primaries in order to shift the scales such that we can win these districts. And if we win these districts, it changes the entire nature of the race. And with that mentality, by spreading that message throughout the country to the various people who are in districts that have those kinds of opportunities, the Ron Paul grassroots organizations have been very strategic and tactical about how they're using their resources. And that's actually what led us to create the DVD that we created. Because, you know, like we were saying, people are just out there making videos. Well, I decided that I would do that. And so I said, what if someone was actually interested in Ron Paul? If someone was said, you know what, this guy's at least saying something different than all the other candidates. Why don't I find out what it is and what he's about? How would they find out? And what I found is that they'd have to go to a whole bunch of different places, and they might get good information. They might not. They might have to read it versus seeing it on video so you can see him and hear his voice. So I thought, why don't I make a DVD that's specifically designed to introduce people to Ron Paul, who he is, what he's about, why people are so excited about him, and then what are his stances on all of the major issues of the campaign. And if I were to put that together into one DVD, that if someone wants to introduce someone to Ron Paul, they could just go up to him and say, look, here's my request. I have a request. And it's that if you care about this presidential election, would you spend 10 minutes watching this DVD to learn about what he's about? And after that 10 minutes, you'll have a good idea about whether or not you want to know anymore. Mm-hmm. But all we ask is 10 minutes. Would you do that for the sake of our country? And then we give him the DVD. The DVD has a 10-minute introduction that's specifically designed to answer the major questions that people have that let them go, wow, wait a minute. This guy is actually someone I can relate to. He's obviously talking truth. You know, the various pundits who are out there who actually talk about Ron Paul universally say, well, he's a straight talker. You know, he's always saying the same thing.
Right.
He's principled.
Right.
He's got 30 years of voting record saying the same thing. At least he's consistent. He might be outside of the mainstream, right? He might be, you know, the idea of actually sticking to the Constitution is radical because so many politicians just essentially, there's a fantastic video that Hillary Clinton did for her campaign where she's giving out Christmas presents, universal health care, universal pre-K, right? And that's how I think some of the politicians think about it. It's like, oh, I'm the Santa Claus, and I just get to give people these programs. And aren't I nice that I give people the programs and I want to buy this group's vote, so I give them this package. And I want to buy this group's vote, and I give them this package. And no one ever asks the question, where do they get the money for these programs? And what Ron Paul says is, look, every dollar that the government spends first has to be earned by you and me. We have to earn that money, and then they tax it from us, and then they give it back to us. And the question is, you know, after using 50% of it for bureaucracy. But no one's asking this question, and Ron Paul does. So I put all this together in the DVD, and it was crazy. You know, this was it was 2 weeks ago on Monday that we put out this DVD, and we sold 140,000 of them so far.
Wow!
Wow!
People are just buying them by, you know, by the thousand. Here, give me 500. Give me 250. Give me 1,000. Give me 5,000.
Wow!
So that we can do this. And the thing that's exciting for me is that we've had groups of people who say, look, we need to have DVDs in Iowa. We need to have the people in. So what they do is they get together a collection. Like there's one called DVDBomb.com, RonPaulDVDBomb.com, and they take a collection. They get the money, and then they buy our DVD and send it to the canvassers in the areas that we can make the most difference, these critical targeted areas.
Wow.
And it's, I think with that kind of intelligence and that kind of strategy and the kind of organizations that you can do over the internet, I actually went from being, oh, well, it's never going to happen, to, you know what, I'm willing to put my heart and soul in this. I'm willing to put my time and energy on the line and bring my best creativity to it and further the cause of freedom as far as I can get it to go. And I think there's a possibility that Ron Paul will do well in Iowa in New Hampshire, and if he does, people will come out of the woodwork, and he will place as a serious contender after February 5th.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be locked down. There won't be a candidate who has won after February 5th. But as long as he can stay in the running, that means that people will start to hear his message. And when people hear his message, a certain percentage of them, they don't just go, oh, I like him.
Yeah.
They become passionate converts.
Because he's so different than anybody who's come around in decades that you can't help but notice that it's very, very different.
I want to thank you for connecting with us, Mark. We have to jump off in just a couple minutes. But this has really been just the top fascinating phenomena that's happening in our world right now in this whole political arena in America, spotlight of the world, being pulled either into more of the same and thrust and remaining in fear, or those of us who are beginning to wake up and listen to a message and listen to the first time in I don't know when, that you actually have somebody that you like and want to vote for, as opposed to just choosing, you know, the lesser of the evils. And people can probably get the, I'm guessing, get the disc at ronpaulreveres.com.
Yeah, and they're 20, by the way, the discs are 25 cents a piece.
Wow.
Well, there you go. That's
affordable. So basically, you know, someone might want to give someone out a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well give them a DVD.
Right.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Politics is highly impassioning, and I just invite any of our listeners to just go out and do more about empowering yourself. Listen to what's really going on. Don't be sucked in by the fear mongers. There are choices to make that are much more empowering, and other people doing the same. There's others that you can reach out to, and this is not just a fringe movement. This is hope, and hope brews in each and every one of us. We're a pro-hope community.
Yeah, connect with your partners in liberty out there.
Hmm.
There are brothers and sisters who need to know that you care so that they will keep fighting the good fight. And that is what Reality Sandwich is about. It's about finding what really stirs you and being willing to risk and act on it and coordinate with others to make things happen. And so thanks for having me on the site.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. It's been great.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We're going to do a really quick musical break, and then we're going to come right back, hopefully with Mark McAfee, to get the quick update on the raw milk situation here in California. Hang tight. All right, we're back. We have on the line Mark McAfee, owner of Organic Pastures Dairy down in Fresno. We've had him on a short while ago. We want to get the update on the raw milk situation because California was trying to clamp down and people are fighting back. What's going on, Mark?
Well, people certainly are fighting back. There's a jihad going on right now between the consumers and our government. People are standing up and just saying they are absolutely fed up with the government meddling with their consumer choices. And raw milk is just one of those huge hot issues right now. The good news is raw milk is secure. We're good. We have at least three different levels of protection right now. We have a lawsuit that's been filed last week that actually will enjoin any enforcement of AB 1735 standards. We also have some political support from various different assemblymen that feel betrayed by the process that passed AB 1735 and have told us that they will introduce new law to overturn it, the old law. And thirdly, there's a lot of commitment we've received from the Secretary of Agriculture that this law will not act as a backdoor ban on raw milk. And if it starts acting like that, he'll do everything he can to continue the flow of raw milk. So we feel very secure going forward that raw milk is good to go.
So it's going to still be on my shelf.
Absolutely it will be. If it's not, I want to know.
And it's not going to require a dog food label.
Absolutely not. It's fully legal, and it's protected by the goodwill of the citizens of California that have fought a good fight in the last 90 days. They brought it to the attention of the legislature that they were betrayed by a bunch of lies told to them from some people over at CDFA. And these lies have become apparent, and now there's a dialogue. The jihad has begun.
Wow. Well, for those people that are just tuning in and hadn't heard about this before, the two-second nutshell is that raw milk, which is wonderful, health-giving food that many people can't live without. It was under attack by some sneaky legislation trying to put restrictions on it, which would have made our access very difficult. And as Mark had said, this backlash from all the consumers and everyone realizing that this is actually something very important to people and that the information that they were spreading was incorrect. And so it's great to see, once again, the consumers and the citizens standing up for what they believe in and making a difference.
That's exactly right. Well said. The consumers responded in just incredible. It's just an avalanche of emails, voicemails, and letters to the governor's office and Nicole Parra's office, who's the assemblyman who actually introduced the bill. She didn't even know what she was doing when she did it. And she became very upset and actually has joined very much to support the repeal of AB 1735 because the standards by which or the information she was given were completely incorrect.
Mm.
So the governor was duped, the assembly was duped, our legislature was duped, and now it's got to be undone. So it's pretty sad.
Wow.
It's just so interesting to think about, you know, the kind of things that go on that people don't get riled up about. I mean, what else is just going on that nobody knows about that just gets signed into law?
Well, it's called the Patriot Act.
Right. Well, Mark, we thank you so much for connecting in with us, and we just really applaud your efforts on behalf of healthy Californians and really on behalf of anyone out there, you know, doing the right thing and speaking truth and believing that the right thing can prevail, because certainly it seems to be doing so here.
You're exactly right. And if you've got asthma, try a few cups of raw milk every day. I'll tell you, you'll be startled. In a week or two, your asthma relief is going to be tremendous. OrganicPastures.com, 1-877-RAW-MILK. Get educated. Drink, eat whole foods. Drink and eat whole foods. Don't eat processed garbage. Stay away from antibiotics. You'll be healthy.
That's right.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Well, boy, he really summed up the entire message right there of healthful living in a short synopsis. And what do we learn about here in the first show of 2008? Well, we're learning that that there is hope, that people themselves can take action on their personal choices and feelings and connect with others behind a common movement, a common theme, a common belief.
And it's worth getting your hopes up.
It is worth getting your hopes up.
Even if you're disappointed later, it's still worth getting your hopes
up.
It's
always worth getting your hopes up, because when you get your hopes up, then your mind starts thinking, oh, well, gee, how can I make this happen?
I know, but a lot of people don't realize that they are led by the fear of getting their hopes up and then getting their hopes crushed.
And therefore, they end up directing their behaviors to avoid the possibility of getting crushed.
Right. We all do it. Mark and I were just talking. Michael Lewis and I were just talking about how we had our own experiences recently with that. I mean, it's human nature, but we need to really, really be paying attention and not allow, you know, those things to take.
Well, I think what we were saying at the top of the show is when we start feeling fear, right? Very often we can identify the source of that. And that could be a commercial, it could be an ad, it could be somebody thrusting us into fear. And just bringing that split-second awareness, hopefully, to our consciousness by talking about it, can help you just maybe step back in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just create a slight pause, a slight pause, a slight inhibition between the time that the fear is thrust upon you and the time that you get thrust into a reaction or a fearful, inhibited state.
And just one reminder that if you are interested in learning more about the other political candidates out there, such as Ron Paul, go on to Google Video and do some searching. Search the if you want some, you know, stuff that you feel like is unbiased, go to Fox News debates. Go wherever you want. Look at anything he's done, and I think you'll find whatever it is that you're looking for. And for those people that are interested, it is important to note that if you want your vote cast for Ron Paul, you have to register Republican. You can register as many times as you want. You can register and you can change back in 2 weeks, but you have to be registered as a Republican in order to vote for him if that's something you're interested in doing. So be aware that I think we have until the 15th. Is that correct?
I think it's actually the 22nd of January.
Look and find out. We're not exactly sure. It's coming up very soon. So this is the thing that if you're interested, don't wait until the last second, because you need to have it done well in advance of the actual election.
Right. Imperative point being that the world is changing and all positive change begins with your personal choices. And we intend and to continue to inform you as best we can and bring you interesting subject matter week after week here on Reality Sandwich going forward into 2008. Julie and I will be back next week with a fascinating discussion with a colleague of ours who's flying into town, Dr. John Hicks, who will be discussing quantum physics and many other issues around personal health and some of the cutting-edge information that we're learning about the various factors that that affect our health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's going to be a great time. So you are listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I'm Julie Matthews here with Martin Matthews, and we are with Healthful Living, and you can find out more about us and our services at healthfulliving.org. And you can get this show and all past Reality Sandwich shows at realitysandwichradio.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.